Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear two students giving a presentation to their teacher. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Hello, everyone. So in today's seminar, we're going to be listening to a short presentation. That's you, Roger, and your partner, Josie.
That's right, Dr. Cork.
So, what are you going to talk about?
We had some problems choosing a topic, actually.
I thought you both wanted to examine the effects of the invention of the aerosol spray.
Well, that was our first idea, but the problem was that we found there was a group in the other class who wanted to do that too.
Also, today's application of the invention seemed too much linked to its influence on the painting industry, and we looked at that a few weeks ago.
I see. Yes, I think you were wise to steer clear of that. What other ideas did you have?
We were stuck for a good topic for some time. In the end, Roger had some reasonable ideas.
Thanks, Josie. So, one idea was that we could look into how the Industrial Revolution was affected by the invention of the spinning machine. This invention revolutionised the garment manufacturing industry and led to the loss of many jobs in factories.
That seems like a good project.
Yes, we thought so too, but it was hard finding the right sources.
I thought there would be plenty on that.
So did we, but the library had very little. We then had a look at a couple of other inventions, for example, Volta's invention of the chemical battery. Although this happened a long time ago, and we wanted to link it to the development of the mobile phone, and how its development depended largely on getting a battery small enough to make them portable.
That might be too big a time between the invention and its effect.
We came to that conclusion too, though it's a shame, as it was such an interesting topic.
What came next?
We looked at how the sextant was invented, which was interesting, as it was invented in the US and the UK simultaneously. By measuring angular distances between objects, people were able to work out their geographical position relative to celestial objects. This allowed ships at sea to be able to work out their positions reasonably accurately, and no doubt save thousands of lives.
Was there a problem with that topic?
We thought so. The effect of the invention was so long ago that we thought it was no longer very relevant.
I see what you mean. You'd probably have been all right, though.
We decided not to take a chance.
Well, it's often good to play safe.
I then wanted to look at the invention of modern light polarizers, which were created by the American physicist Edward Land.
What do they do?
They eliminate glare and were used in the first instant cameras.
And what was wrong with that?
That was my fault, I'm afraid. I just found the topic really boring.
I didn't want to force her, so we finally just chose a different subject.
You now have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen to the rest of the presentation and answer questions 26 to 30.
So, what did you finally decide on to talk about today?
We chose the invention of the ballpoint pen.
Off you go then.
I'm starting. So, like many inventions, the ballpoint pen came from a need, and this need for a different type of pen came about because of ink. Traditional fountain pens used an ink that dried too slowly. Quick drying ink was available as it was used in the printing business. This ink was soft and acidic as was needed, but it was not suitable for pens as it was too thick to pass through the nib of the traditional pen.
Am I right in saying that the ballpoint pen was invented by a Hungarian?
That's right. In the early 1930s, Laszlo Biro, a Hungarian journalist, thought about how printing ink could be used in a pen. Biro's idea was to fit a tiny metal ball bearing at the end of the pen. This was not a new idea. In 1888, the American John Loud patented a roller ball-tip marking pen. Loud invented his pen, which had a reservoir of ink and a rollerball, in order to apply thick ink to leather hides. Loud's pen was never produced, and neither were 350 other patented designs for ballpoint pens over the next 30 years. The problem was the ink. If it was too thin, the pen leaked. If it was too thick, the pen clogged, and sometimes it did both.
So Biro's was the first ballpoint pen commercially successful?
That's right, but not in Hungary. Biro had to leave Hungary just before the start of World War II, and he created a new home for himself in Argentina. There, Biro set up a business producing his new pens, which were later also manufactured under license in the UK and the US.
Biro's original design is still the one that's used by most manufacturers of pens. In fact, the Biro company has problems with people using the word Biro. Because the Biro pen has been so successful, people often use it as a generic term rather than as a trade name.
So how did Biro's ballpoint pen work?
At the bottom, or point of the pen, is a small ball bearing, from which the name ballpoint comes. Above the ball bearing is a channel for the ink to flow down, known as the ink tube. In the middle of the ink tube is a central spring.
It already sounds complicated. Is this the process that is used in the cheap ballpoint pen nowadays?
It does sound complicated, but it isn't really. And yes, all modern ballpoint pens use this process.
Really? Anyway, please carry on.
The idea is that the pen is pressed down onto the paper when writing. This action forces the spring to rise, so that its top section lifts and allows a gap to open between the ink tube and the ink tank, which is found above the spring in the body of the pen. The ink can then flow down to the ball bearing, coating it as the ball bearing revolves during the writing process. In this way, quick drying ink was able to be used in what was called the ballpoint pen.
That's very interesting. Now, let's hear your section on the effects of this invention.